In 2010, a 60-year-old woman named Diana Nyad set out to do something that many people thought was almost impossible. The task was to swim 110 miles from Cuba to Florida. And despite much skepticism, she moved to Key West and took with her her coach and friend, Bonnie, hired a navigator called John Bartlett, took with her a team of people who would keep the sharks at bay and the healthcare workers she'd need to keep her safe as she did so. And in 2013, on the 2nd of September, 3 years later, on her fifth attempt, she made her way onto the shore of Key West, having completed the task. And with the sun shining, with the crowds applauding, with microphones and cameras trained on her, she said that she wanted to say three things. The first was, never give up. The second was, you're never too old. And the third thing was this. It may look like a solitary sport, but it takes a team. It may look like a solitary sport, swimming, but it takes a team. And the whole flow of the Bible suggests that it is the same with the Christian life. It may seem like it's something that we can do on our own, but the reality is that it takes a team. The Bible speaks of the church being a body made up of many parts, every part being necessary. When Jesus sends people out to share the message of the gospel, he sends them two by two. It takes a team. And Jesus also says that as people see us interacting together as groups, it is a testimony to his power at work in our lives and in our hearts. It takes a team. And the Apostle Paul, the author of this little book, this little letter that is in front of us, writing to this church in Greece in AD 60, says something very similar. After a brief introduction, read with me what he says in verse 3. He says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of, do you see it, your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. That word partnership in the first century had commercial overtones. It was a group of people getting together to get a task done. Think Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak. Think Chewbacca and Han Solo. People who get together, roll up their sleeves and get involved. And Paul is saying, as he refers to Christians, that partnership in the gospel is people who roll up their sleeves and get involved in the task of making Jesus known. As he phrases it in verse 12, just beyond our passage, at the end there, the advance of the gospel. He says in verse 5 that he's grateful for these Philippians for partnership in the gospel from the first day until now at the end of verse 5, because when he first came to Philippi and shared the gospel with Lydia, the seller of fine cloths, she began to welcome people into her home so that they could hear more about the gospel. And when he was in prison in Philippi and the jailer became a Christian, the same thing happened. Welcome people into his home to hear the gospel. In other words, from the very beginning, Philippian Christians have been playing their part in using their time and their talents and their treasure to make Jesus known. Now, it's difficult to get the exact figures, but it's often said that 20% of the people in any church do 80% of the work. The figures are easier to get from the US, but in the US, and on an average Sunday, 40% of the people at least sitting in the pews have no active involvement in that church other than being in the pew on a Sunday over the course of a month. And when it comes to evangelism, sharing the message of Jesus, it can be very similar, maybe even more so. We can think that that is the job of the evangelism pastor, or maybe the mission agency. But God's word to us today would say that it takes a team, and that the local church is right at the heart of what that means. Not all with the same roles or responsibilities or gifts, but together we make all kinds of evangelism to all kinds of people possible. And the challenge is, what will this mean for you at All Souls? In this letter, it's clear that partnership in the gospel has at least in mind a financial component. So chapter 4, verse 15, you don't necessarily have to turn there, but I will read this one verse, chapter 4, verse 15. Paul says, "Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me," in our translation, same word in the Greek, "partnered with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except only you." In other words, part of what this idea of partnership meant was reaching deep down into our pockets to aid the ongoing work of the advance of the gospel. And it even happened beyond the scope of the local church, as they supported, in this case, the Apostle Paul, a traveling ministry, a missionary, making Christ known. And so it's an appropriate passage for us to look at as you are considering, as a church, what does it mean to be partners with others in the widest possible sense? But the partnership wasn't just financial. In the course of this book, we see that people in Philippi continued to witness to Jesus, to share the gospel with others, to pray for Paul, as well as to send money in support of his ministry, all because they recognized the importance and the priority of the gospel. And I'm sure that there are many here today who are just that, partners in the gospel, people who witness, people who pray, people who give, both within the church and beyond. Yes, in weakness, yes, in struggle, but with perseverance, so that the message of the gospel would go out. And it is a privilege to say with the Apostle Paul, "I thank God for you and for your partnership in the gospel." Of course, there'll be some here for whom that doesn't apply. Maybe you are visiting, maybe you are looking in, curious about Jesus, but not yet convinced. And perhaps your question is, why is this idea of partnership quite so important? Why is it that the author of this letter is so filled with joy, verse 4, so filled with deep affection, verse 8, for people who are committed to getting this gospel message about Jesus' life and death and resurrection out? And just for a moment, let me zoom in on one word that helps us to understand that. It's in verse 8 when Paul says, "All of you share in God's grace with me." That word, grace, means God's unmerited, undeserved favor. And the story of the Bible is that we turn our backs on the God who made us, and yet he turns his face towards us. Like a boss who pays his workers for a full day, even though he knows full well they've only done an hour. Or like the father who throws a party for his son, even though his son has drained his father's account with pointless parties. We have done everything to deserve the exact opposite of what God gives us. We have ignored the rule of God in our lives, sometimes in hostile ways, sometimes in very polite ways. And yet, because the King of the universe is our King, it is a colossal crime to do it, which deserves judgment. And yet, if we accept the gift of forgiveness available through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, God says, "You are now my daughter. You are now my son." Not because of your education, not because of your genetics, not because of your culture or your background, not because of your own self-discipline, but because of my invincible power. God says, "You will be saints." And when he says, when Paul says in his introduction, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, he is emphasizing that that God will chase us down to the ends of the earth to keep us as his children forever and ever and ever. And nothing in heaven or hell will stop him. That is why Paul is happy with what he sees in Philippi, because he sees a people who have been gripped by grace, gripped by the gospel. And this is what motivates them to partnership, to witness for Jesus, to pray that the gospel would go out, and to give that this message would be known. And I want to focus in the time that we have left on one key question, really. And the question is this: what do we pray for when we see this partnership in action? What do we pray for when we see this kind of partnership in action? And the two things that we can pray from these verses in Philippians are, number one, to thank God for his unstoppable work, and number two, to ask God for wisdom to love. To thank God for his unstoppable work and to ask God for wisdom to love. So firstly then, to thank God for his unstoppable work, which is to say that partnership is a sign of God's unstoppable work. Verse 4, let me read it again. Paul thanks God in all his prayers for all of them as he prays with joy because of their partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus, that is the day that he returns. Some things have predictable patterns. The alarm clock goes off in the morning, followed by reading the Bible in the morning. Checking that the buses are running ahead of running to the bus stop to catch the one that you need. When I leave the house in the morning, often I'll hear one of my children saying, "Where is my school exercise book?" At which point I know I'm going to be late for school because there's a sequence that follows. Where is the exercise book? Follows, "Dad, you need to find my exercise book." Follows, "Why did you move my stuff, Dad?" And I find myself on the carpet trying to see the carpet from underneath a sea of jeans and t-shirts and so on to find said exercise book. But the point is this: sometimes certain actions mean that certain consequences always follow. And so it is here. Partnership is a sign that God is at work and that he will finish what he started. In other words, partnership is a sign of Christian growth. And Paul is confident that God will keep developing that growth to maturity to the time when Jesus Christ returns. This means that our witness and our prayer and our giving with and for gospel partners, yes in weakness, yes in struggle, but with perseverance, are signs that God will finish the work that he started. In the last few days, members from this church have walked along Oxford Street and Regent Street to meet people who were sleeping rough. I read the report of one of the times that this happened in the last few days. 35 people or so met, and each one of them had the opportunity to hear Psalm 138 and be prayed for. And many of them accepted that. One man even came to church as a result. One woman was so enthusiastic as she heard these words that it seemed like a crowd of other rough sleepers were gathering behind her, thinking something must be in this by the way that this one person is responding. Many were referred to the London City Mission Homeless Daycare Centre, Webber Street, that we've heard mention of already. Now, some of you here may have been part of that very team witnessing. Others of you will be people who pray for the work of that group. Many will be involved in giving for the team who are involved directly and for London City Mission who come alongside or have done to support them. And all of it shows that God is at work and he will finish what he started. And we want to pray, thank you, Lord, for what you are doing among us. A week ago, Saturday, 62 guests welcomed into said day center, which is taken over by All Souls volunteers. 50 were served breakfast. The gospel was shared. And again, some of you will have been part of that team witnessing. Others would have been praying for the work of it. Many of you involved in giving for that team and for the wider work that London City Mission supports. And all of it shows that God is at work and he will finish what he started. And we want to pray to the Lord, thank you for the work that you are enabling. And of course, it's not just partnership with Weber Street or the work of walking outside and meeting with people who are rough sleeping that is the sole mark of faithfulness. No, that's just one example of one form of partnership that I've had the privilege of being close to at All Souls that shows that God is at work and he will finish what he started. That shows that even though we mess up, even though we are far from perfect, even though our failings frustrate us, as we live out lives of repentance and faith, God himself is at work to mature us and will finish what he started. And we want to pray, thank you, Lord. Perhaps you're here and you're just thinking about Christianity. And for all of your strengths, you are aware of your own weaknesses. You know the reality of resolving, for example, to try and break habits and struggling, to change the way that you live and what you say, and finding that even the resolutions you set yourselves, you cannot keep. What if it were not all up to you? What if there were a greater power at work that could change you? Put your trust in Jesus, the Son of God, who died for your sins and rose from the dead. And verse 2 can be true for you. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. God's undeserved kindness and power can be available for you. Firstly then, what do we pray when we see partnership in action? We thank God for his unstoppable work. And yet we have some responsibility as well as we witness partnership going on around us. This is our second point. We can ask God for wisdom to love. We can ask God for wisdom to love so that we'd persevere in partnership and that we'd progress in partnership. And the way that this happens is that we want to understand Jesus more and what made him tick, so that it begins and continues to transform the way that we tick. We want to understand Jesus more and what made him tick, so that it in turn changes and impacts the way that we tick. Let me read from verse 9 so that we can see this playing out in the passage before us. Paul says, "And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." Paul in verse 9 is saying that he prays that they would grow in love. And the love that he wants to see in them is the love that he's just described at the end of verse 8. The affection of Christ Jesus. The love that looks like Jesus and flows from Jesus. He's saying, would their love for others that would cause them to partner, would it grow as they continue to know Christ? Now, this is really important because partnership can be hard work. I try and get myself along to the daycare centre at Weber Street a couple of times a month, and sometimes volunteers don't turn up, or hearts seem hard, or progress in signposting other organizations seems slow. Relationships can be frayed. We will all know this in our Christian service. What will keep us going? Well, it's the knowledge and love of Christ which motivates us to continue to love one another and to love the lost. You see, as we understand what makes Jesus tick, it begins to transform the way that we tick and our ongoing desire to partner in the gospel. Think of the way that we often take on the characteristics of those who we work closely with and love. I used to be a medical doctor and worked not too far from here. And I remember joining a particular team where the consultant of that team used the word ludicrous far, far too often. And when I joined the team, it seemed like a completely ridiculous thing. But somehow, within a few weeks, every member of the team suddenly used this word ludicrous in every other sentence. It was ridiculous. But the point was, we spent time with this person. We got to know them. And their knowledge and behavior impacted us. And supernaturally, in a much more significant way, so it is with the Lord Jesus. Spelt out more in chapter 2 if we had time to look at it, that we don't seek status for ourselves, but humbly serve others for the sake of Christ. And this is what loving partnership should look like for us too. Let me give you an example of this. It's a prayer letter from someone who is a member here at this church and who happens to be a London City missionary. Her name is Petra Zimmerman, and she writes this. She's writing about a time just after the cold snap that we had back in December. Do you remember that time? I cycle into work. I remember getting to work with two pairs of gloves on and it taking half an hour for me to feel my hands again. You remember that cold snap? That's what she's talking about. And she writes this. She says, as a team, we were honored to collaborate with Aslan volunteers during the activation of the winter night shelter in December 2023. It brought us immense joy to extend our ministry to a homeless family who sought refuge at All Souls Clubhouse, sharing meals with them and offering prayers and the gospel. Now, my guess is, knowing Petra and her team, that this involved changing schedules, changing plans, changing priorities, to serve sisters and brothers and strangers in the church. And yet she writes, I don't know if you noticed it, she says, it brought us immense joy. There is someone who is a living illustration of verse 9. A living illustration of someone who, as she grows in knowledge and depths of insight of Jesus Christ, loves. Not seeking status for herself, but humbling herself, serving for the sake of others. Someone for whom partnership is a pleasure, not because it's easy, but because it mirrors her Savior. I could say the same about others, both within that team at London City Mission, within the congregation here. And we want to pray that God would give us more of that wisdom to love, as we know Jesus more, that we would know how to love more. Well, I want to bring this home and for us to think about what this means for each one of us sitting in the chairs right now. And let's hear this one point, that we cannot say that we are growing in love for Jesus Christ if we are not growing in love for others, expressed in this instance in partnership. That is rolling our sleeves up and getting involved in the advance of the gospel within the local church and beyond. We're often saying in the churches that I attend that there can be no real Christian walk without real Christian knowledge. We know that genuine Christianity is based on a knowledge and love of this book, God speaking. But it works the other way round too. There can be no real Christian knowledge, no real understanding of this book if it isn't translating in our Christian walk. As John says in 1 John chapter 4, how can you claim to love the God you can't see when you fail to love the brother or sister who you can see? And so the question we need to ask, friends, is will we pray? Will we pray for the wisdom that we need to know what it will look like for us as members of All Souls to grow in our role of advancing the gospel in partnership with one another as we get to know Jesus Christ more? We need to ask ourselves, friends, will we pray for the wisdom we need about what it will look like as a church to grow in our role of advancing the gospel in partnership with wider Christian community as we get to know Jesus better, so that we might discern what is best and so express Christ-like love? As I say this to you, I recognize my own weakness. I'm so grateful for the first point, that if we are sitting here repenting and believing in the Lord Jesus, then there is unstoppable work going on within us despite our sin. And yet we want to pray, don't we, that God would give us the wisdom to grow in our love. So let me summarize what we've seen. What do we pray? What do we pray when we see partnership in action among us? We want to say thank you for God's unstoppable work. And we want to ask for wisdom to love so that we would both persevere in partnership and we would know how to participate in partnership in the future. Diana Nyad said, "Swimming may look like a solitary sport, but it takes a team." Don't believe the lie of the devil that would have us believe that church doesn't need you, that would have us believe that our efforts are irrelevant. They are not. And in a city of 9 million people, no one church can reach London on their own. No one individual can even reach their street, probably, on their own. We need one another. And what a witness it would be to a watching world if the Evangelical Church of London were to find ways to be richer in their fellowship, to work more closely in support of one another for the advance of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads and pray. So our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the grace that you have extended to those who have put their trust in the Lord Jesus by faith. We thank you that for many of us, you have done that. You've opened our eyes to see the beauty of Jesus. And we thank you for what that has sparked in our hearts, a desire to roll up our sleeves and be involved in the work of advancing the gospel. Thank you for how we're able to do that both within this church and by extending our partnership beyond this church with our witness, with our prayer, and with our giving. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we both give thanks for your unstoppable work, and we pray that you'd help us to keep going deeper into the Lord Jesus Christ so that we would persevere in that work and discern how to do it more in the future. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.